Welcome to the July 25th, 2012 Landmarks Preservation Commission meeting. First item on the agenda is roll call. And with roll call, we would like to welcome our returning ex officio from the Wedge neighborhood, Ross Buffington, and our new commissioner, Katie Chase. Roll call is Chair McIntyre, Vice Chair Maddox, Commissioners Eckley, Ray, and Jensen.
I've asked them to excuse.
You're still here.
Are you?
And Chase.
And under item two, the welcoming, would either our new ex officio from the Wedge or our new commissioner like to introduce themselves and tell us, well, Ross, we know you really well, so there's no point there, but Commissioner Chase, would you like to introduce yourself and state your background and so on?
I'm Katie Chase. I'm an architectural historian with Artifacts Consulting here in Tacoma, so I have a background in historic preservation, and I'm excited to serve on the commission and see preservation from the other side of the table. So
thank you very much. Third item on the agenda is consent agenda. We have excusal of absences. Commissioner York is called in. And under B, summary of administrative approvals, are there any changes, comments, or additions to consent agenda? All right, I move approval of consent agenda as presented. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Item four, board briefings. I understand that our vice chair and our commissioner, and one commissioner, Commissioner Jensen, are both working on this team and recuse themselves, but this is a non-actionable item. The board briefing is for 3701 North 26th Washington Elementary School. And former commissioner, Grulich, would you like to present?
Yes, shall I come to the table?
Please do. Does staff want to begin with a staff?
Sure, I'll just start with a brief
review.
Okay. Remarks on. By way of background, this school was designed by the prominent Tacoma architect, Frederick Heath. Washington Elementary was built in 1906 with expansions that occurred, as you can see on the picture there, in 1910 and 1949. It is listed on the Tacoma, Washington National Registers of Historic Places. At the February 22nd meeting of the Landmarks Commission, the design team introduced the project team and the project schedule and scope. At that meeting, it was reported that research was being conducted to develop a historic structures report and to identify existing conditions which would provide guidance so the building's historic integrity was not compromised. At the time, it was presented the following schedule, July 2012, which is where we are now, working on schematic development. Fall of this year, concluding design development. In spring of next year, contract documents submittal, and then during the spring and summer of next year, it would be construction. The design team has a schematic design concept of the school that the Tacoma School District. The design team has submitted a schematic design concept that will be presented to the Tacoma School District, and this will complete the schematic design phase shortly. This particular briefing is an informal briefing based on the latest design. And no more formal action was requested at this time. Thank you.
I believe you have a presentation. Do you have any beginning remarks? Or if not, go ahead and launch into it.
Thank you, Chairman. Members of the Commission, we are very proud to be here today. We came before you in February with just an outline of our recently acquired contract to provide design for the improvements to Washington Elementary. I'm here today with two fellow presenters, Lee Fenton, principal in the firm, and Jonah Jensen, the project architect for the project. Also with us is Christy Perry. She owns the building. What you have on the slide is the slide that we had shown in February, which outlined the progression of development of the site for Washington School, beginning with the 1906 building, followed quickly with the 1910 building, and then the 1949 building was built in two components. Off to the lower right-hand side, you'll see a dashed-in box for a building that was once here, which was the first school that was on this site. So the building we're dealing with is the second building on the site, and to the best of our knowledge, it is the second building on the site. There was no previous buildings here. The 1918 building, which was, I guess you'd say, more classified as a portable building, although it was a little bit more permanent than that, has come and gone as well. So what you're seeing on the site is the development of the site as it is today, and you now pretty much know the history of the development over time. We're going to go through a few slides which will just familiarize you with the overall site. And we're starting with the southern portion of the building, and this is the current public entry to the building. It was developed in 1979, and it fronts onto North 26th Street. The next slide is from the corner of Adams and North 26th, and highlights the assembly building in the foreground, and you can see the cornice of the 1910 edition of the original school. Moving around on Adams Street, you can see more of the assembly building, and then you can see in the background the historic 1906 building, and to the north you can see the addition 1949 vintage. Right now there is a gravel parking lot elevated above the street, and in this photograph we're looking south, and you can see the kitchen portion of the assembly building and then the original historic building. Moving around, we're now at 27th and Adams, and you can see from a distance, and you can see the raised platform where the parking lot is located, and you can see more of the historic 1906 in the middle, a 1910 to the right, and the 1949 addition to the left. This is a north elevation of the 1949 addition to the original building. Moving further around, the primary facade of the building, which faces into the playground, is predominantly in the center of the 1906, 1910 to the left, and the 1949 to the right. From the playground, you see the eastern elevation as well. I'm going to turn this over to Lee, who will take you through the programmatic issues concerning the building.
So you're looking at a slide here that indicates the existing square footage and the existing allotment of space and the function on the left. And then on the right is the proposed square footage and the proposed uses. And I will note that this has been changed a bit from your handout. We made a few just changes, and I'll try to note those to you as we go through. The existing facility is about 42,000 square feet. It's comprised of a library, a gymnasium, 14 classrooms, two restrooms that are student restrooms in the base on the lower level. There's no restrooms up on the second or third floor. There's staff public restrooms throughout the facility, primarily on the lower two levels. One music room, an instructional activities, administration, and some support space. The proposed program is to increase the facility from 42,000 to 60,000 square feet, and primarily the increase of square footage is distributed throughout these spaces. First of all, the library and gymnasium remain about the same, but we're looking to increase classroom level for first grade through fifth grade by the number of one. Increased student restrooms, which is a big change, to have ample student restrooms on the upper two floors. And then also increase the number of staff and public restrooms throughout the facility. That was a big need and a big request. We are increasing the music classroom not by number, but by size, by 50%. The instructional activity space, which is kind of the function in there is art instruction, science instruction, and that increases by 50%. The administrative office, main office area increases by 100%, so it doubles in size. Mechanical, electrical, custodial support space increases significantly. Circulation increases significantly. And one big factor that's kind of hard to assess, but there's basically, you know, really a challenge in the existing facility for accessible spaces. And that's a big increase in our new plan to make all spaces accessible. Then these are new spaces that the existing program does not have, which is a separate lunchroom. And that's a big change. The existing facility has a gymnasium, but that also functions as the lunchroom. So during the lunch hours, there's basically no PE instruction, which is a challenge for the school. So the Tacoma Public Schools program is to have a separate lunchroom, and we're accommodating that. And then this line item here, kindergarten 3. There is a kindergarten at the program, as you know, but it's in a facility down the street. The Hoyt building houses kindergarten and actually one first grade classroom. So we're proposing to increase the existing plan by accommodating that first grade classroom as well as 3 new kindergarten classrooms on the Washington site. Shared activity space is just kind of breakout space, and we'll show you that on the plan. That's something they don't have now, and that's a program requirement. And then, obviously, an elevator. So those are the major program improvements.
In looking at the treatment options for properly dealing with this historic building, we have centered in on rehabilitation as the treatment that is most appropriate for the building. Rehabilitation accepts alterations and additions, and although we're dealing with a school, it has been a school for over 100 years, it has need for improvements to meet the current standards. So rehabilitation offers those opportunities within the proper treatment of historic buildings. And in that, there are 10 standards that are asked to be met, and we feel that in the process of developing the schematic design that you'll be reviewing, is that we've been able to address most, if not all, of those issues. I'll start off with the very first one, and that is that it is to be used as it was historically, which is really the one of the very best issues, that we're not trying to change it into something it never was. But in some ways, we are making changes to accommodate the new needs of education that were not relevant in 1906 when the first building was built. I'll step down to number 5 in distinctive materials features. I think we have carefully looked at the existing building and analyze it from the standpoint of what are the character-defining features and those that we think are essential to maintain. And this has been supported by our public outreach as well, that the comments that have come from the public have reinforced that we have addressed those character-defining features. And I'll step down to number 10. You'll see this in the presentation, but we have looked at the addition of the new additions and alterations in such a way in which we have touched the historic building as lightly as possible. And not that I think that we have designed for that purpose, but should that ever need to be reverted back to the original building, we feel that we've addressed that in the accommodation of the design. Okay, I think I'm going to turn this back to Lee now.
Yeah. And so the next several slides kind of walk you through kind of a process of thought on how we can appropriately accommodate a program expansion from 42,000 square feet to 60,000 square feet. And the first thing we wanted to do to really analyze that is say, well, what could we do if we added all of those kind of inherent program expansions and improvements of restrooms, accessibility, elevators, and the special programs, the increase to the administrative offices and whatnot, if we increased all of those but did that within the existing shell of the building, how many classrooms would we get? That was kind of an analysis we wanted to do to just kind of get a sense for how the existing building would accommodate that new program. And so in doing that, this was just kind of an exercise or an analysis. This diagram shows the upper floor, the second floor, and the lower floor basically accommodating the program as best we could. We would be able to fit 11 classrooms in the existing facility. So that we knew that wouldn't work for the program. We knew we needed to expand, obviously. And so that's what we did. One thing to note on this plan, if we did try to accommodate the existing footprint, we would need, obviously, to utilize the largest space, again, as a gymnasium and lunchroom. And we would really be compromised in that the separate lunchroom wouldn't be accommodated. We would also have to add on to the facility with a significant addition of a kitchen, and then we would have to bring delivery and kind of service yard access onto 26, which would really be a compromise to the aesthetic and to the function of access on the site. The next slide shows, okay, we understand we need to add on to the site. How could we do that most effectively? And so we looked at one major addition in this slide, and that addition is on the northwest corner of the site. The addition that we're proposing here is a gymnasium and a kind of an L-shaped lunchroom that basically rests right up against the existing structure. And so those two big functions really accommodate the needs. They give us the ability then to house the classrooms on the upper, the second floor, and the lower floor of 15, which is ideal in that it gets us the numbers for first grade through fifth grade, but it still doesn't accommodate kindergarten. We looked at this portion of the building then needing to be repurposed, because this is the existing gymnasium lunchroom function. So in repurposing the 1949 building, we looked at it becoming a library and instructional activities. The challenge with this is that one of the big ideas with the plan was to lower the grade on the Adams elevation so that we create a new main entrance to the school that is on grade from an accessibility standpoint. Right now, the main entrance is not accessible. Right now, as you saw from the first slide that Gene showed you, the main entrance occurs off of the 26th elevation, and it's up on the upper level, so that you go up a set of steps. Our goal was to get that main entrance down on grade so that you can truly access the facility from a wheelchair and have a gracious, kind of more appropriate main entrance. By keeping the 1949 building, that's up at a half-level elevation above that. And so there would, again, be that challenge to how to connect to that facility, and also how does that facility connect to the main, to the floor levels, since it's at a level between. So we would still be challenged with ramps and access, and then as well an additional elevator at this point. You can kind of see, we've added this photograph here just to remind everyone that you really kind of come up to this floor elevation from the street on all sides. So we thought then, what if we, instead of repurposing that existing 1949 structure, what if we replaced it? And what if we lowered that building as an addition in a similar way to what we were doing with the Northwest addition, and had that kind of now be complementary, but also be functional and appropriate from a level standpoint in that it times out with the levels of the rest of the facility. And this really was the ideal functional solution for the planning team and for all the community groups, and even the school board that we presented to just most recently. So basically, this is the same plan you just saw, except now this is a library and instructional activities addition. It's at the same lower level that we're creating for the main entrance, and you can kind of see how that addition now has a little bit of a lower vertical impact and accentuates a little bit more of the existing 1906, 1910, 1949 three-story structure. We were still missing those three kindergarten classrooms that ideally would be included on the site. So the next slide shows how we could creatively add those three classrooms to the plan and make it a low impact on the site. And so you can kind of see how we did that. We tucked these three classrooms basically underneath the playground, accessible from 27th Street. So you can kind of see here what the existing view from 27th looks like, looking back to the historic facade, east-facing facade. And what we've done basically is tuck those three classrooms right in this location underneath the playground. And what that does, we feel, is ideally it's now a connected structure. Those classrooms are connected via a hallway back to the main building and then up an elevator, the one elevator that we're proposing. But it has its own kind of identity and own entrance, which has kind of become really loved in the Washington Hoyt plan of that the students first go to Hoyt. They kind of have some autonomy and some separateness from the main building. So this concept was really well accepted and became kind of the best of both, because now it still has its autonomous identity and its own entrance, but it is connected and students aren't needing to go outside to and up the street to connect to the school. So that's kind of the big picture plan view and planning of the facility. This diagram really is, I don't know, we keep putting in there because we're proud of it, but our pride is really about that we worked so hard with our planning team and with the community, and we exercised multiple options over and over again with every group. And we had a series of 4 community meetings, 2 PTA meetings, a series of 8 planning team meetings, and then we had a series of meeting with every student and every teacher in the school over the course of a week. And meeting with every student at Washington gets you basically in every parent's grill, because now every parent is finding out about the project from their student. And we got a lot of feedback and parents coming back to the school to check out what we were doing, and it was really a beneficial process. What this process did, it brought us to one kind of unified concept that we've just now shared with you. So the next slide, Jonah will walk you through a little bit more detail on the plan.
Okay. Before I begin, though, I wanted to further disclose for the record that I am part of the commission, but have been asked by my employer, BLRV Architects, and Tacoma School District to present. When it becomes an actionable thing, I won't be presenting, but I'll just be recusing myself, of course. So with that being said, I thought it would make sense to go from the very top down to talk about how we handled the program from the interior and to see how that expands to the exterior with the additions. And there's kind of 3 main things that we were looking at when we were planning the space. Obviously, the programmatic requirements from the ed spec. There was accessibility was a huge thing. You know, the building is completely inaccessible right now. And then also the character-defining elements from the interior standpoint. And if any of you have ever been inside the building, you'll kind of realize that there's not really a lot of ornate character-defining elements. It's a unit school. So really the character-defining element is the width of the corridor, the height of the corridor, the volumes of the space and the classrooms, the moldings, you know, the base and the chair rail and transoms leading into the classrooms and things like that. So in planning, we wanted to maintain the width of those corridors, the heights of the space. We're going to work very collaboratively with our engineers to make sure that the ceilings stay as high as possible in those spaces as well. So if we look at what is now the third floor plan, we'll see that we maintain the size of the classrooms. Those are about the same size. We maintain the location of the stairwells and approximate size of those stairwells as well. But we've introduced an elevator to get access to all three floors and also to the new lower level where the kindergarten is being proposed at this time. What's ideal about the layout is the way the curriculum's taught right now, there's essentially three classrooms per grade level, and they'd like to maintain that and have them all on the same level. So you have three fifth graders, three fourth grade classrooms on down. And so six, that's kind of the significance of the six on each level. In the middle of the classrooms is shared activity space, so that's for small group instruction, so you can pull students out of the classrooms and have instruction there. And then you'll see down here at the bottom is kind of mustard color is the restrooms that we're actually putting on each floor now. Now the students don't have to go all the way down to the basement to use the restroom, and you'll see some other colors that are similar for the staff restrooms. The northwest corner on the second and third floor are staff functions. On the third floor, it's a staff workroom. Then directly below that, where that bay window is in the 1949 edition, is now the library. We're proposing that to be the staff lounge. So they all kind of have this real resonance with that space, and it just seems a little unfair to make that somebody's classroom, so we wanted it to be everybody's space there. As we move down, we get down to what is now the first floor, is currently the basement. We've lowered the grade, as Lee talked about, so the main entrance comes on the west side instead of the south. That forecourt comes down to that level as well, and everything is accessible, including the addition here in the southwest corner. The gymnasium and the lunchroom, as Lee had mentioned, takes this kind of L shape. And the way that we're proposing connecting to the historic building is by using a very transparent hyphen connecting element. So there'll be real transparent glass volumes. That way you can see a clear demarcation between what's new and what's historic. So we're not trying to blend into the historic building. We're not trying to mimic the historic building. We're trying to take characteristics and elements from the historic building and sort of reinterpret them. So elements such as the horizontal nature of the roof line, we're doing the horizontal roof line on the additions, keeping those as a low slope roof so you can see the cornice work and the third floor windows up above at the historic Frederick Heath building and the subsequent 49 addition there. You can kind of see that glass volume right there. Programmatically, getting back to the program, the music classroom essentially doubles in size, as Lee had talked about. The administration is now on the first floor and all in one location. And then we have three classrooms that serve as the first grade. And then this northeast stair is that access down to the kindergarten. What we also see is this food prep, this kitchen area, which is adjacent to the service yard up on 27th Street. And then this mechanical electrical room, it's a little bit misleading in this diagram because it's not really at this level. It's down below, so that's buried along with the kindergarten program, so that this addition has very little impact to the historic fabric of that 1949 addition. And then just the library and instructional activities, as Lee had mentioned earlier. And then a connection to an outdoor learning classroom via probably like a sliding sectional door, overhead door. The garden program there is really important. A lot of the students, they love the garden, so we wanted to make that something really special there. Historically, Washington School, from what we've heard, is they've had seedlings and plants come from Mount Vernon as part of the landscaping, and that's something that we're exploring right now. So trying to kind of incorporate that into the site as well is one thing that we're doing there. If we look at a close-up of the kindergarten edition, we've got the three kindergarten classrooms, and that sense of autonomy that Lee had talked about, it's a separate kind of building, but it's connected to the main building. You know, it's like the kids are down in sort of this new addition, which is kind of like Hoyt. It has the characteristics of Hoyt, but it's connected to the main building. So you can imagine the kids graduating and coming upstairs to the big building into first grade. They would have a shared activity between those three classrooms, and then there'd also be a separate entrance for the parents. So again, that sense of autonomy is stressed there. And so what we're going to go into next is an animation that goes completely around the site.
After you talk about the site.
Yeah.
We want to just talk a little bit. The site design was actually a big part of the program improvements at Washington. And I'm just going to remind everyone a little bit about how the site functions now. Right now, this is the main entrance. There's actually a drop-off lane right here. Cars can enter the site and park or drop off and then exit here. That's kind of been, that function has been taken away because there was a problem that occurred right about here where I think a student was actually hit by a car in recent memory, and so that is now not functioning in that manner. Staff parks here. There's approximate parking for about 20 staff right here. Boiler room right here. We mentioned the kitchen. And then there's perimeter parallel parking on all sides and some drop-off that occurs here. Presently, complete hard surface play, no soft surface play, and that was a big program requirement to introduce an improvement in that area. Another discussion, quite a bit of discussion, was about this north portion of the site. It's kind of no man's land. Students aren't really allowed to go there. There's big grade difference, and there's just kind of a negative area, and it's not very well utilized. And on a tight urban site, that's not good. So we wanted to really strategize how to be more effective with that portion of the site. So the next slide shows our concept for the site development. As you can see, now no longer is there on-site parking. This is now a student community plaza and entranceway. And we really are working towards making this part of an extension of the assembly area through the design of our gym that Jonah will talk about in a little bit. So gym and lunchroom really now utilizes that lost space on the site. And as you can see through the development of our site design for the playground, a big emphasis on soft surface and more safe play areas. And we're also introducing now another structure onto the site, which doesn't exist now, which is a covered play area. So that's a big feature. And I think a real improvement along the 26th Street view, and now that there's an outdoor educational zone that is really in the foreground of the structure. So that's a quick view of the site development. How do we accomplish that parking? Well, we basically distribute in a more concentrated way parking on these two faces, going from parallel parking to perpendicular, and we're working with the city on that, how we accomplish that. But in a cursory review, we're on the right track there, according to the city. So that's the site design. Now Jonah's going to kind of walk us through what the building looks like.
So then we're going to come down and look at the east elevation. The historic elevation that stays virtually intact. The south elevation as well, with the 79 addition being taken away. You can see the new addition here, the instructional activities, and the library and the roof line, the historic windows of the three-story building. We'll take a walk into the main forecourt of that entry plaza and take a look over to the left. These nice Palladian window up above kind of demarcates that entry. The reason for the volume here is both from a programmatic standpoint with the gymnasium, but also we'll see as we flip around over there that the bay window, we're trying to encapsulate that without compromising the integrity of its structure. You'll see here, this kind of becomes a beacon for the community with the light. And then this is a really transparent connection, this lunchroom, with nice north light, which you don't get glare. And then how we connect to the historic building. Again, we're going to be really aware so that we can kind of see the historic building and just be very, with a light touch there, as Gian mentioned earlier. Then as we come out, We'll flip around over to the kindergarten area. So here you can see the base of the historic building coming down through the glass. You can see that horizontal nature coming through here. And then the kindergarten's tucked underneath the playground, so it doesn't compromise the integrity of that addition there. And then this separate entrance into the kindergarten gives that sense of identity. And then I might mention too, you'll notice this is a little bit raised right here, and that was so we can get accessibility to the playground. So that's going to impact those windows slightly. There's the covered play. And then the soft kind of play area for the little kids right above the kindergarten. And then we'll just twist back around a little bit so we can see the overview site. So a lot less hard surface here, as you can see, which is a pretty big requirement there.
Our plan is to complete schematic design, which you've just viewed, very soon, and move directly into design development. We plan to come back before you when we have completed design development so that you can see the fleshing out of all the issues that have been presented here. That should take place in October, November. And we will then move into contract documents, which will be the actual building plans for the building. And we should be at about 70% in December. And at that time, we will ask for, a formal recognition from the commission that the plans seem to be consistent with your interests. And then in February, we would be completing the contract documents and applying for a building permit. And at that time, we'll be coming back to you again and ask for your final acceptance of the project. So that is our game plan. Of course, this is just an informational briefing, and we certainly do solicit and appreciate your comments so that as we move forward into the completion of schematic designs and design development, that your interests are brought into the dialogue of the project. So.
Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions from commissioners?
Can I ask the yes. parallel parking that you're going to, is that designed to accommodate the staff there?
Yes.
And
the perpendicular parking, yes.
Yeah, and there'll be enough left over for the public as well to park on
Yeah, the overall aggregate of considering all of the existing parallel parking and drop-off, as well as the on-site drop-off as parallel parking, and then the on-site parking, we took that number at about 76 or 60. It was a number in that 60 to 70 range. The revisions keeps that number about this within one or two stalls, so it's the same number, but the parking for the staff now will be on the perimeter.
Do you envision that the school have to be closed during construction?
Yes, and the students are planned on attending Hunt School which right now the Geiger students
mm-hmm.
are
the Geiger
there.
Students are there, and they'll be moving into their new school, and then it'll be vacant for a year, and then Washington will move over as a temporary Washington at Geiger for a year.
Are there other questions or comments?
Can you talk a little bit about Hoyt and what's happening with Hoyt?
From a little bit that we understand, or maybe Christy, you'd like to weigh in, we presented to the school board about a month ago, and the dialogue was very, the reception that we received from the school board was very warm, and especially considering the amount of input that we've gotten from community about the potential of growing the capacity on the Washington site. But obviously that trickles down to, what's happening to Hoyt? Well, the school board weighed in, and there was some initial conversation between a couple of the board members and the superintendent that potentially Hoyt would be utilized as an early childhood or a preschool in the future. And I'm not sure if there's anything to add to that, Christy?
Not really. I think the plan
and I'm not sure what date they're projecting, but is to get preschool at every single elementary school. So that would work well for Washington if Hoyt became the preschool. So that's about all we've heard so far.
Any plans to put Hoyt on the register of historic buildings?
Well, we've had that proposal come to our office from Caroline Swope, and so last I heard, Steve was having discussions with the cabinet and bundling it with two other schools, right? So.
McKinley and Oakland, I guess.
Yes.
Right. So I had a question about the covered play space, actually. It's just kind of odd in a way, but it seems like you do a really great job with the additions, making the historic building very visible and so forth. But the covered play space strikes me as being quite hulking. I realize it's open on the backside, sort of, and I just wondered if anybody else had commented on that.
I'll start to answer that. We've had some discussions with every group we met with about that space. I think first and foremost, it's a program requirement, and it's a desire of the school principal, the school staff, and the students to have that space. So that being said, we looked at a lot of different options for siting. And we kind of settled in on what we felt was the best siting to have the least impact to a view of the historic building, which was center and farthest east possible. So that from each corner, from 27th in Washington or from 26th in Washington, kind of at those intersection points, you get a really good view of that historical facade. And then within the design of the play shed, or the play structure, there's function, and then there's structure, and then there's also, you know, some protection that we need to provide. And so it's kind of balancing that, and so that's kind of the outcome is where we're at. We even got some feedback just yesterday, and Ruben will chime in or validate that. There was some discussion about the requirements of there's some open or windows or openness that's required on that in a certain rhythm that we may have to adjust to make that meet city code.
Excuse center guidelines.
Yeah. So I guess we've had a lot of dialogue and discussion, and I guess we will probably continue to have that. I don't know if that answers your question or.
Well, clearly you guys are thinking about it, and so that's the important thing, I think.
Yeah. Thanks for that comment.
Other comments or questions?
I really liked it. On the whole, I'm sure you've heard this from a lot of people, but it's really nice.
Thank you.
Especially the volume transition between the historical building and.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
The large green area on the playground is listed as turf. Is that artificial turf?
Yeah, that's plan right now is most likely for artificial turf. The idea is that it's definitely, we want it to be a soft surface, and I guess the options would be grass or turf, and I think the district may have a preference for that artificial turf surface.
And so parts of the new kindergarten will be underground?
That's correct, yeah.
So
yeah.
The backside will all be dark?
The backside dark, the south side will be, you know, kind of embedded, whereas the north facade will get that kind of indirect natural light, which actually we think is going to be ideal for those educational spaces. We really like that type of light for kind of a non-glare, positive natural light.
Any other comments? So thank you, gentlemen, for your presentation. We look forward to having you back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That concludes.
concludes board briefings. Item 4, item 5 is chair comments. I have none at this time. Item 6 is board business, and there are staff comments that are have been requested, so I will turn it over.
Thank you. So there's a couple of different things. First, I wanted to point out, just in case anybody is impressionable, that there is the Pierce County Landmarks Commission is providing a limited amount of funding for folks if they're interested in going to the National Trust Conference in Spokane this fall in October, which is a nice opportunity because we rarely get conferences anywhere near us. And so Spokane, it being in Spokane, which is, you know, just 300 miles away, it might be Spokane's worth visiting on its own, and then when it's full of preservationists, it's just that much better. And so at any rate, I will be there, and if folks are so inclined, there is an opportunity. And so if anybody here is just interested on an individual basis, or this commission would like to elect a victim, either way, it's just something to know that there's an opportunity for it. And it can be really kind of uplifting to be among similar-minded individuals and see kind of what's going on. There's many, many, many topics that are covered in a preservation conference. So having said that, just take note. The second thing I wanted to ask is we have a potential request for an ARC meeting next Wednesday, the 1st of August. And there is a proposed, not an addition, but a remodeling of an exterior back porch at 817 North I Street. And so we haven't sorted it completely out, but I wanted to hold that date. And if folks are...
17 or 112?
112. It's a typo.
Okay.
You'll see it in the pending agenda items coming up. They're putting together the packet for the next Landmarks Commission meeting. And so it may be helpful for them to have an ARC just to get a sense of which direction they want to proceed. So I offered that up to them. So we don't have to take a poll now or anything like that. If they want to do it, I'll go ahead and send out an announcement. Unless everybody here at this table says no, I can't do it. I know that
I'm available. Probably can.
And so, okay, great. And then lastly, just a quick question I wanted to put out there. This is something that I thought of a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted to sound it out for commissioners. I'm completely neutral on this, but if it would be helpful or if it would be any way beneficial to commissioners to consider starting the meetings at 5:15 or 5:30, or if it would be horrible to do that either way. The reason why is because I think that it makes no difference to me, and it probably wouldn't impact the long-term schedule of the commission. I mean, we tend to finish up by 6 or 6:30, sometimes 7, but not usually lately anyways. And because of folks' commuting schedules and the close of the business day at 5 and so forth, it's something we haven't discussed before, and so and don't need to resolve it now or anything like that, but it was an idea that I did have, if it would make it easier on folks.
I would think it would be a welcome change, particularly from those that commute from Seattle and even locally, to finish out their day and to be happy, you know, if it was to start at 5:30, I think that would be more convenient for most. I don't know how the rest of the commissioners feel about that.
I'd not be adverse at all.
Yeah, all right, I think it would be easier for most of us. So I think that's a bylaw change in the making.
Okay. What we'll do then is we'll work on that, making the change in the bylaws, and we'll work with the city clerk to change the schedule. If folks have concerns about that too, I'd be happy to talk about that, or with Mark, of course. And but if that's something people feel generally positive or neutral about, then we'll go ahead and work on that.
That concludes remarks. Okay,
we
are on to the announcement portion before we adjourn. Is there another commissioner that would like to go to this National Trust for Historic Preservation meeting in Spokane coming up on October 30th? Is there someone that can go that that would like to go.
I'm already going. I'm speaking.
Okay.
All right. Was there another person?
No, I was just wanting to see if there were two people, then, you know, we either flip a coin, but if no one else is interested in going, I'd be interested in going, but I'd rather see you go, because I've been on the commission a long time, and so you're on your way.
Okay. So, I don't think you, I mean, I guess I think that the letter probably contains everything you need to know. Caroline Swope, if you know her, is, I think, sort of the organizer of Push behind this, so she can also answer any questions. If you have, you know, I'll put you two in contact also if you have questions.
Okay.
But otherwise, I think, well, I guess I notify the Pierce County Landmarks Commission if you'd like to go, I'll go ahead and let them know.
Okay.
Great. If there are no other announcements from commissioners, and hearing none, we are adjourned.